Quick question. When was the last time that you actually looked at your website and thought, this is really working for me? If the answer is you're not sure, don't worry because you're not alone. Most therapists have a website, but they don't actually know what's helping it to convert, what might be confusing potential clients, and what might actually be turning people away. That's exactly why a website audit is so helpful because it can give you a clear outside perspective on what's actually happening when someone lands on your website. So I'm hosting a live website audit workshop April 17th, where I will walk you through what to look for, look at your website live, talk about what to fix, and how to make your website actually work for you. To learn more and sign up, head to the show notes to register. Now, onto the episode. You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Comegys, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about money. We all have a different relationship with money, and how we feel about it in our personal lives can absolutely have an impact on the relationship with it in our business. I'm joined today by my guest, Nicole Lewis-Kieber. Nicole is a business therapist, coach, and author of How to Love Your Business and founder of Love Your Business School for Trauma-Conscious Business Owners. Nicole works with entrepreneurs, business owners, and leaders to help them create and nurture healthy relationships with their businesses. She has studied the impact of trauma on entrepreneurship and is a thought leader at the intersection of trauma and business ownership. Nicole, welcome to today's show.
Thank you for having me.
We were talking a little bit before we hit record, and it's been a year since Nicole was on the show. You may remember her from a previous episode where we talked a bit about understanding how trauma can impact us in our business and how we show up in our relationship with our business. So if you haven't heard the episode, I highly recommend checking that out, but it's good to be with you again today.
I'm happy to be back. Thank you for having me again.
So as typical with guests, I usually ask, like, how did you get into therapy or what you're doing? But for listeners, they may remember that from the previous show you were on. And so today, since we're going to be talking about money and talking about the relationship that we have with money and finances, I'd love to know kind of how you got into that line of work as it relates to supporting entrepreneurs and therapists in their businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, as many therapists probably could recognize or respond to is that I left the field of therapy in direct practice because I was really burnt out and it was affecting my life in so many ways, my health, just all of it. And I just could not really do that anymore. But I didn't want to lose my skill and my work with people individually. You know, like I still felt like I had something to give. I just wanted to give it in a different way. So
yeah,
I did take a little bit of time off and worked with a life coach myself because I had done therapy. You know, I felt like there was a different skill set needed here. And I worked with a life coach and I really started to see that, you know, there's a way that I could work with people in a different capacity that would be less draining and also not under the thumb of the systemic, you know, agencies and places that they really don't care if we burn out, right? It's, you know, they pay us like no money and make us work until we drop. So it wasn't the desire not to work with people anymore. It was not to work with people within those structures and kind of found my way into the coaching world, you know, for better or worse, but I did find my way there. And started to get certified to be a money mindset coach, that I recognized that I wanted to find a way to nurture being compensated and feeling that I was entitled to more than what the social work department said I could have, or whatever agency I was working for said I could have, or the insurance company said they would pay me.
Yeah.
And so I knew, they say teach what you need to learn. So I knew that I needed to change the my ideas about what money were. So if I wanted to be a coach, that's the one I wanted to do. So I went in and trained on how to work with money and mindset. And I kind of fell backwards into working with small business owners and entrepreneurs because, money's important to everybody, but for them in a different way. And really began to shift what I thought was possible for me as a therapist and as a business owner that I could ask for. I no longer defaulted into what people tell you you can make as a social worker. And it was really empowering and really beautiful. And there was a problem. So what I was seeing in the money mindset world in particular, that I was being taught by my trainers and also some of the other people doing the work, was there was a real focus on it's just a mindset shift. You just have to shift your mindset. And being a trained therapist for 18 years, I was looking at it going, yeah, and there's so much more to it than that. And the clients I was working with, I think were drawn to me because I had been a therapist. And they were really frustrated and they were feeling a lot of shame because all of the money mindset tips and tricks that people were telling them to do, like the law of attraction, all that, it was not working for them. And so not only were they struggling with their money mindset, but now they were struggling with this, shame about, well, why are all these tactics not working for me? And what I, was able to deduce pretty quickly and work through with them and develop some skill around is that it's not a mindset challenge for you. It is a trauma response. And that really started my career on recognizing that trauma is embedded in other places that we don't expect it to be, including your business and your money. So once we started to address the fact that their relationship with their money was being impacted by childhood trauma, my money trauma, and how they how their nervous system and their capacity for money was being impacted, I was able to help them shift out of those mindsets that felt really restrictive into more capacity to be able to ask for more or to take their business to the next level. And then the money mindset tips and tricks, they started to work because we had a foundation that was more solid and more regulated, if you will, to work from. So that's kind of how I found my way from being a therapist into this work. And I really kind of don't say I'm a money mindset coach anymore, because I think the mindset piece is very much the last part to come around after the nervous system is available to it.
Can you speak a little bit more to like that nervous system piece? Because I'm super interested in the impact of trauma on the relationship with money. And obviously, most therapists recognize that like trauma is those roots that are like deep in the ground that intertwine into everything that we don't always recognize. We're like, oh my gosh, I'm pulling this piece out and looking at it. And yes, it's still intertwined there. So it totally makes sense. But can you talk a little bit about that part of that internalized piece and the activation that you were kind of describing?
Yeah, and this is a really good example. I kind of have two ideas on that, but one I want to give you real tangible in that. So a lot of the clients that I was working with, and you've probably seen this in the coaching industry around money, they'll say, double your prices, triple your prices. And so I was working with a lot of people who had doubled their prices or tripled them or whatever the business coach was telling them to do. And they were then shutting down because they did not have capacity energetically and in their nervous system to handle that tripling, doubling of their prices because their value, their internal value and worth was very much connected to that number. And so the bigger the number, the more the triple, double, the price was, the more their sense of their inner value and inner worth was being impacted. And the more insecure they were feeling, the more like, I don't deserve this and it's going to go away tomorrow was happening. So we would work with, let's gradually change your prices. Let's gradually work towards a new revenue goal so you can have time with it. So it can feel more comfortable. So your nervous system can kind of adjust, your capacity can adjust to, okay, now I sell these programs for this. Now I charge this per hour. And we would gently build capacity so that they did not become triggered or dysregulated, because they could make twice as much money and they would absolutely shut it down, and people would say sabotage themselves, right?
Yeah,
Like the whole
without even
sabotage
really
thing.
knowing that they're doing that.
Yeah, because they didn't have a nervous system capacity to manage what it meant to be someone who earned that, or what it meant to have a client who's now looking at you wanting something from you because they just paid you all this money. There were so many emotional connections that were really difficult for them as they if they were raising their prices too quickly. So that's a very specific way that I saw people getting triggered and shutting it down. And then unfortunately, their business coach or their mindset coach was saying to them, well, you just don't want it bad enough, or you just need to shift that and fake it until you make it, right? Those type of things that your nervous system does not care about that. It's like not gonna, and so they were getting a lot of bad advice that wasn't trauma conscious in any kind of way. And then they would just be dismissed by the coach. It's like, well, you're just sabotaging yourself. You don't want it. And then unceremoniously get fired by that coach because they weren't doing the work, right? As opposed to that, you have now traumatized your client and put them in a situation where they don't feel safe. Because more money can feel like more expectation, more problems, more things to do with it. It can feel very unsafe, if
Well, and
you've had
it's,
trauma around money.
yeah, well, and it's interesting because talking about shame, like what a shame cycle where you're feeling shame because you're wanting to charge more or you're needing to charge more. And so you're experiencing shame around that. But then when you struggle to do that, and to, triple this price, like your coach is trying to tell you to do, then you're being shamed by them for not doing it or not succeeding at that. So then it's just like, again, this shame spiral, this shame
Yeah.
cycle.
And emotionally, what you're seeing is that making more money is not solving the problem for you because you're still feeling unsafe. You haven't addressed the fact that you don't feel worthy of that number. It doesn't feel connected to who you are. And so it feels unsafe. And having that more money, that more revenue is not fixing the problem. I always say that's putting a business solution on an emotional challenge, and it doesn't work. And so the person gets flooded, they get dysregulated, and yeah, do they sabotage it? They might. Or they might wind up learning how to white knuckle it through that next level, but they completely fry themselves and it comes out sideways somewhere else.
We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. As a therapist, business owner, and a mom, managing your business finances effectively is crucial. That's where Bank Novo comes in. Bank Novo isn't just a bank account, it's your partner in growth. With free checking and a range of features tailored to small businesses like yours, like no hidden fees or minimum balances, Bank Novo makes managing your finances simple and stress-free. But what truly sets Novo apart is its compatibility with the Simple Profit Method. Whether you're just starting out or looking to streamline your financial processes, Bank Novo seamlessly integrates with Simple Profit, helping you track expenses, managing invoices, and maximizing your profits effortlessly. And for listeners of this show, when you sign up for a free Bank Novo account at bit.ly/NovoAshley and enter the referral code AshleyComages, all one word, after making a $100 deposit, you'll receive $40 as a sign-up bonus. Yep, you heard that right, $40 just for taking control of your finances with Bank Novo. So fellow therapists, take the next step towards financial empowerment. Join me in choosing Bank Novo and unlock the financial tools you need to thrive in your practice. I'm curious, in your work specifically, like I'm thinking around therapists or kind of in the mental health field, and I'm really curious if you have seen where we talk about, like, obviously there's unresolved trauma and some of it can stem from childhood. And we all have a money story that, like, we grew up, whether we grew up with money or without money, there's a story there and there can be trauma there. But I also think of the system that we all grow our career in, right? Mm-hmm. Our higher education, our boards, like you said, all the regulatory, you know, pieces, and then our own therapist community, that there's a lot of narratives and a lot of mindset around. I mean, I think to back in grad school, well, you didn't go into this for the money, or, you know, you're never going to be successful beyond X amount, or you should be ashamed that you don't take Medicaid or that you don't see these kind of clients, right? That there's that part that isn't necessarily rooted in childhood, but I would be really curious, in your work, do you see trauma around, like, that later stage of life and kind of this field that we're in impacting people and their money mindset?
Yeah, I do, because it's so interesting, right? That's what predatory practices are, or that's what those systemic trauma systems are, that the system is broken. The system is predatory. The system counts on people burning themselves out and undervaluing themselves. And so then the person, the individual, feels like that they have to fix themselves, or they have to fix this one thing, as opposed to the system is the predatory problem, right? So that's what happens with, like, I'm putting quote air quotes, victims, right? We think that it's up to us, if we've had trauma or being traumatized, that it's up to us to fix it. Like, we're the problem that needs to be fixed. And it's not true. And they want to tell therapists, well, you just need to do this, or you just need to accept that, or you should take Medicare. Not the fact that, you know, Medicaid doesn't pay well,
right?
We don't, we as therapists look at it, but as a whole, people don't look at those systems and say, well, wow, they're really abusing the practitioners. They're not valuing them. So no, I'm going to blame the practitioner for not wanting to stay in an abusive system. Right.
Yeah.
But again, we bring it down to the person that's getting harmed as the problem, as opposed to looking at the system. So I do. I think the systems that are around us, particularly when it comes to healing arts and mental health, they count on the fact that people are helpers. This sounds so insidious, but it is. They count on the fact that people are helpers. They count on the fact that there's this deeply ingrained narrative that if you're a healer or a helper, that you should not make a lot of money, that you should do it because you want to. And they count on it. I always say that, you know, the systems are traumatizing for a reason, and it's not by accident. Right? So, yeah, I think being a social worker who's come up through the system, you know, the social work board process, you know, even our licensure processes are kind of, you know, there's a lot that needs to change, I think, around all of that. There's a lot of gatekeeping and a lot of nonsense, things that don't really even need to be there. It's just that they keep other people in business. So it's hard. And I do think that the systems around mental health are very punishing. And not supportive. And I think that you and I've talked about this before, like, most people don't go into therapy because they had fantastic childhoods. We're usually trying to figure something out or to help people. And so we're really, really ripe to be traumatized and abused by these systems too.
Yeah. No, I've never really thought about it in that perspective of, like, there is this, like, I don't want to say, like, preying on the victim, but almost like preying on, like, the vulnerable, where, like, you, like, we're caring people. That's why we do what we do. And, you know, a lot of us have bent over backwards because we want to help people. And so, yeah, when we get kind of stuck in these systems that are telling us, if you step outside of this system, there's something wrong with you, right? That you're not a good therapist, or you're greedy, or it's all just about the money, or whatever the story is, then yeah, it's like, kind of almost what's the word? Kind of like joined to our abuser in some ways, that like we can't shake that. And so yeah, then it's like we're fighting against these larger oppressive systems.
Yeah. And then our clients who need us often will align with the system and say, well, you shouldn't be doing this, or I can't believe you're going to charge that. So it's even further that the system then kind of indoctrinates the clients into believe that we should be doing that because we care, as opposed to, yeah, system, pay these people more money because they're literally saving people's lives and you are undervaluing them.
I'm curious, amongst therapists, mental health professionals, healing practitioners, are there common themes that you see in the same struggles as it relates to money mindset? Are there specific ones that kind of frequently come up?
And I think it kind of aligns with what we just talked about, in that most people who go into this field have their own trauma that is often unresolved and is con often connected to their money. And so I always say they have like a higher alignment with what I call psychic income, as opposed to actual tangible revenue. And so they're more aligned to feel good about the work that they're doing, or they want to be seen. And this is not bad. Like, don't I don't want to sound like I'm like, being mean about it. It's like we want to be seen as a helper. We want to be seen as a good person. And so therapists, in my experience, my lived experience, and who I've worked with, are more likely to align with psychic income outside of revenue. Which it's fine. We want to feel good about our work, but there has to be a balance in psychic income and your actual revenue. So I see a disproportionate balance there when it comes to money. I also see that worthiness piece that, if you've had childhood trauma and your worth has been challenged by the people around you, it's really difficult without doing some healing work to be able to put a price tag on who you are and what you offer. It's hard to value yourselves and put a price that feels good and solid and safe if that has not been worked on and addressed. And so how I see it work out a lot is that imbalance of the psychic income and revenue, that value that hasn't been supported and healed, as well as the boundaries tend to be very, very poor with clients because they want to give more. They're doing more than they have capacity to do. And so they're working double hours for one amount of pay, either it's a private practice or in their agencies, because their boundaries have been pretty flimsy, pretty fluid. So they're working without getting paid. That's really what's happening.
Well, and so with that, are you seeing that it's because, again, there's that part that's kind of getting preyed on of like, well, don't you like I'm using this as like the internal dialogue of like, well, don't you want to help these people? Or you feel bad that like you aren't, able to help them, or you should be helping them. And even though I say like I'm gonna charge X amount, I'm gonna only say this is what my fee is. Like, is that where you see some of this, like it's this internal struggle happening
Yes,
in
an
you?
internal struggle of, that maybe they haven't quite identified who they are as a therapist, self-leadership tools to address the boundaries that need to be happened, and to set the prices and stick with them, to know that, I need to value myself first, because as therapists, we are the most important person in the room. And that's going to be very controversial to say. I say that to my business owners all the time. You are the most important employee person in your business, because if you're not okay, no one's going to be okay. And so I think that there's also that imbalance of, I want to be a good person, good therapist, and I don't want people to think badly of me. So there's that kind of trauma response of fawning with the clients, or and again, the system just absolutely eats that up. Yeah, you should do more. Yeah, you should, do unpaid work. It's because you're a good person, like the good and bad binary comes up a lot. And as therapists, literally our job is to support people, help them, and be a part of their healing journey. So to set limits and boundaries and be firm and confident within that, a lot of people don't really either know how to do that, or it feels disingenuous to the profession because the system's, like that.
As you're talking, I'm thinking again, like within our own profession, we can be some of the most judgmental people towards one another. And the things that I've seen people say to other providers, and like how almost like how dare you charge that amount, or like how dare you want to do things differently in your business, is so shaming and so judgmental. But as you're talking about that, my internal question was like, well, what trauma does that person have that they're putting their money story on this other person of you have to essentially play within these walls, stay within this box, that that's the only way that you can be effective in your career is to, again, like basically align yourself with these oppressive systems.
It all comes down to safety, doesn't it? If I'm a traumatized person in a traumatized system, and they've told me how it works, and they told me what we can make, and we've all said yes to it, and someone else has the audacity to go out there and charge more and do something different, you are threatening our safety. You're threatening the idea of what it means to be a therapist. You're threatening the idea of what it means to be a good person. Like all of those internal narratives that we have and identities that we have that are connected to being therapists, when someone does something different, we're threatening the safety of the traumatizing system. That, like, I want to get too macro on that, but it's when you think about any system where the system is traumatizing and the people in it are traumatized, what are they doing? They're trying to survive. They're trying to adapt. They're trying to modify. Sometimes they're aligning with the abusive system to say, yeah, you shouldn't do that. So when you really look at it from a big view out, you see people's adaptations or trauma responses are playing out through that. So I look at it and just say, that person hasn't recognized their value yet. That person is threatened by someone else's, creative thinking around what it could be to be a therapist and to be in the mental health field in a different way. And that's okay. They're just not there yet. And that's okay. And so I do a lot of work with therapists, helping them not to take ownership of that person's perspective of them. I work with a lot of business owners where I said, help them, please do not throw your small business under the bus out into the street to do more philanthropy work than you can afford to do right now to try and counteract the lack of support and good practices from, let's say, the big company that starts with an A. Like, we can't, as small business owners, the best thing we can do, and as therapists, the best thing we can do is heal our relationship with our money, heal our relationship with ourselves so we can really own our value and be creative in our practices and not align ourselves with the rigidity and the predatory practices within these systems, but also understanding that me as a small business owner, as a therapist, I can't do it too much to the other end either, because then my business is going to go out of business, right? So again, we as people who've had trauma, we try and fix the problem of the perpetrator by doing too much. And so I have business owners every day that I'm like, your business gets to make money. You don't have to necessarily donate any money from your business until you have health care. Like, it's okay. You don't have to fix the ills of society right now in your business when you don't have health care. So, kind of a long answer, to kind of get around to what I see and what I think is possible.
I
Because we
know.
can be judgy towards each other as
Oh
therapists.
my gosh. Like, I feel like if people outside of like the therapist community looked at the way we talk to one another, especially in these online forums and, social media, I feel like they would be appalled by the things that we say to each other and the judgment that we throw at one another,
Trust me, I know. Like when I stopped doing direct practice and started doing the work that I do at the intersection of trauma and business, all bets were off for me as a therapist. I was so criticized and condemned by therapists who didn't think that I should be doing what I was doing, and that, talking about trauma and business and, having trauma-informed approaches as in a coaching industry. And I just said to them, I'm like, listen, I'm willing to lose my license. If someone wants to report me and someone decides that this is not okay, I am willing to risk my license at this point because there is no credential or licensure for what I do. Right? It's there isn't one. So, but it was hard. It's they've come, fortunately, the therapists have come around. But 8 years ago when I was doing this, no, I was just waiting for it to come down any day. So it was a lot of pressure, a lot of pressure.
Well, and probably your own work in the in those moments of like having to stay grounded to like what you're gonna do, that like you've made this decision, like this is what I'm doing that is best for myself. This is how I want my business to look. And I think it really struck me what you were saying, like why throw away your business for this essentially like one thought that this random person has about what you're doing, that like they're not in your household, they're not in your life, but they're essentially a stranger, or they may be a colleague or a past coworker, but like they're not living your day to day. And yeah, like what a fight that must have been for
And it's not even
you.
their original thought. It's just something they downloaded, and are, unfortunately putting back out there in a way to try and feel safe. Like Brené Brown talks about that if you're not in the Teddy Roosevelt quote, if you're not in the arena getting kicked, dirt kicked in your face and failing, I don't want to hear from you. And in the arena scenario of like there's the cheap seats in the arena, is that where we're going to look? Or are we going to look to the seats with the supporters in it? So if you're not in it, it doesn't, your opinion is not valuable to me at this moment. I'm also not going to be mad at you because you're working something out. I can see that too, but it's not something I'm going to take on myself.
Well, and I'm a big systems person. Like that's how I see so much in life is systems, and I find it fascinating. But I think to kind of come back to what we were talking about, like recognizing that, again, behind a statement, there's so much more for what somebody is telling us, and that we all have been trained in some kind of system or systems, and we are having to kind of like unprogram ourselves and just, again, recognizing that like the snark that we may get from colleagues or the, side-eye questions and stuff, that again, it's really, it's not coming from a necessary, it comes across very poor, but it may not be that like they're just, oh, they're an awful person. But again, it's having to unprogram ourselves and recognizing that not all of our colleagues are able to do that or have done that, and that building your business the way you want to is one of those ways of fighting against those oppressive systems.
And making money mean something different to you. Recognizing that it is okay to, like I called it, psychic income. It's okay to do something because it feels good in your business. It is okay to scholarship somebody when you can. Like the more secure you are as a therapist and a business owner, the more agency you have to make those choices within your business around money and around time. And there may be times where you forgo the revenue by choice and intention for the psychic income, but you're doing it from a place of consciousness as opposed to a default or a reaction that's unconscious. So you could, I always say in your business, you can have whatever you want. You can have it. You can have that. It's just we have to set the intention and be conscious of what we're doing and recognizing that it's not a trauma response. It's not a trauma adaptation. It's not, an external narrative that's playing out in our nervous system that we've been upholding for a very long time. And that you can have the business you want.
I know you have a quiz for people to kind of help figure out their kind of money mindset. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and it's funny, I have a money mindset type guide when I really, talk about it's really not a mindset, it's more of a relationship because, your money is something that you are in relationship to, and we often have, it's often connected to our value or our worth. So there's some deep work to do there, right? But, there's still some common types of money mindset that I have come across in my 10 years of work, and so I created this guide to help people start to see. And what they'll see is a little bit more about themselves, but what's more fun is they'll say, oh my God, my husband's like this, or my mom was totally like that. And so it's a guide where you can kind of work through it and see, like, are you more of an abundant mindset person or a scarcity mindset person, or rebellious. People rebel using money all the time. Like, do you tend to be more rebellious as a mindset, or are you a boom or bust person where you have lots of money and then you have nothing? So it's just a compilation of some of the things that I've seen most commonly when it comes to how people play out their money, for you to take a look at, see maybe where you fall, or maybe you don't connect with any of them, but you see it in other people. So it's a very kind of surface and interesting way to start to look at how money plays out behaviorally. Yeah. So I have a guide for people who want to do that with some videos to follow up to talk further about it.
And we'll have that link in the show notes. Do you do one-on-one work with people if listeners are interested in connecting with you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have programs, but I also do one-on-one work with small business owners, and I have a lot of therapists that work with me who not only want to start to address how trauma may be impacting their own businesses and work, but also want to understand what it's like to work as a therapist with
Yeah.
small business owners who are also identifying that that trauma is also impacting their business. So they like to learn how to work with business owners as therapists on that topic.
And I think it's such a unique position that you have because, like, I think understanding that things are, can be, trauma-informed practices or businesses is becoming more common or like relevant. But I think talking about a trauma-informed business is so powerful and so important because, again, like thinking of those, roots that are just like intertwined throughout, like our businesses, I wouldn't think of like trauma impacting that, but it does. It absolutely does. And then the work that we're doing as healers and helpers, if we're not taking care of ourselves, we're not going to be able to show up in the room for our clients the way that they need us to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Radical rebellion to take care of yourself first, right?
Yes. Yes. Well, Nicole, I really thank you so much for taking the time to be here today. If listeners want to connect with you, where is the best place for them to do that?
They can certainly check me on my website, which is nicole-lewis.keeber. Nicole@lewis-keeber.com. It's always hard to say. Hopefully we'll have it in the links.
Yes.
Really, Instagram, Nicole.LewisKeeber is the best place to find me. It's where I'm usually at the most.
And we'll definitely have all of that linked in the show notes. Again, thank you so much for being here today. And I, again, this will not be the last time we talk. I always love our conversations.
Right, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.